This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Taking a look at your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, which had a major boost from yesterday's WASDE report. Corn for September gained 6.25 to 354.5. December corn gained 7.25 to 367.25. March corn gained 7.5 to 379.75. Soybeans had the biggest gain for Thursday, with September finishing 29 cents higher to 883. November beans finished 29 higher as well to 895.5. January beans gained 28.5 to 909. Chicago wheat had gains on Thursday. September was up 8.25 to 485.75. December wheat was up 6.25 to 483.75. March wheat was up 5.25 to 489.25. Soybean meal for September gained 6.50 to 296.10. October bean meal gained 6.60 to 297.60. December bean meal gained 6.60 as well to 301.30. Finally, soybean oil saw gains for September of 29 cents to 29.02. October bean oil gained 36 cents to 29.01. December bean oil gained 33 to 29.16. So to recap Thursday's higher grain futures, corn finished up 6 to 7. Soybeans were up 28 to 29. Wheat was up 5 to 8. Soybean meal up 6.50 to 6.60. Soybean oil up 29 to 36 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trend from Perberty, Illinois, Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are higher on Thursday afternoon. Soybeans rallied on 29 cents on indications China has bought 600,000 metric tons or 22 million bushels of soybeans. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 to 7 cents at 320 to 362. Soybean bids were 23 to 29 cents higher at 818 to 840. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 9 to 10 cents at 345 to 367. Soybean bids were 29 to 30 cents higher at 828 to 875. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 7 to 8 cents higher at 312 to 385. Soybean bids were 29 to 31 cents higher at 815 to 856. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 29 cents higher at 851 to 883. Bases are steady at 45 under to 13 under the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 283.60 to $300.60, up $6.60 a ton, with bases unchanged at 14 under to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 7 cents higher at 367. The 384, with bases steady at option to 17 over the December. Illinois River Barge Flooding Elevators quoted a producer corn bid 7 to 8 higher, 343 to 365, with bases unchanged up 1 at 24 under to 2 under the December. Soybeans ended up 22 to 30 cents at 840 to 850. Bases was mixed at 56 under to 46 under the November. Wheat prices were up 6 cents at 444 to 454. Well, bases steady at 40 under to 30 under the December. East St. Louis barge loading terminal is placed, sir. Producer corn bids 8 to 9 higher, 356 to 358. These elevators raise their soybean prices 29 to 30 cents. Quotations at 854 to 862. Soft wheat closed up 6 cents at 485 to 486. Milo ended the day 12 to 17 cents higher, 351 to 352. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 323 to 357, soybeans at 819 to 855. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 341 to 365, soybeans at 828 to 880. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 311 to 379, soybeans at 815 to 856. And June-July wheat at 461 to 491. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thursday's livestock futures saw gains as well. Live cattle for October gained 22 cents to 98.72. December live cattle gained $1.32 to 104.95. February live cattle gained $1.02 to 111.20. Moving on to feeder cattle, September feeders gained 77 cents to 136.85. October feeders gained 47 to 134.50. November feeders gained 35 to 133.90. Lean hogs gained the limit on all three contracts. October lean hogs gained $3 to 63.17. December hogs gained $3 as well to 64.20. February lean hogs were up $3 as well to 70.60. So to recap Thursday's livestock futures, live cattle were up 22 to $1.32. Feeder cattle were up 35 to 77 cents. And lean hogs were up the limit on all contracts at $3 higher. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.25 lower in a range of $44 to $47.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $46.05. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were weak, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $18 to $23. 4 to 5 weighed at $19 to $23. 5 to 6 weighed at $21 to $25. Over 600 pounds at $22 to $29. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for bears and gilts at the country buying points were $2 lower, with light demand for moderate offerings ranging from $24 to $33. Receipts for Illinois bears and gilts have totaled $22,764. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $99 to $104, on a dressed basis at $156 to $159. Heifers on a live basis traded at $99, on a dress basis at $157 to $159. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 391 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $70.47, which was $1.98 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $219.97, which was 8 cents higher. Select carcasses at $198.60, which was 20 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was at 114,000 compared to 116,000 for last week and 122,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 486,000 compared to 463,000 last week and 410,000 1 year ago. A recap of the Greenville Livestock Auction for Wednesday, September 11th. Total receipts of 559. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and slaughter dairy steers sold 450 lower. Slaughter heifers sold 675 lower. Choice steers range from 97 to 103. Choice dairy steers at $78 to $88. Choice heifers range 96 to 102. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in ag news for a Friday morning, scores of farm leaders from across the nation rallied on Capitol Hill to get the Mexico-Canada trade agreement across the congressional finish line before election season kicks into high gear. They came from across the heartland and from north and south to hail USMCA for producers struggling with trade wars, disasters, and years of low prices. The rally by Farmers for Free Trade heard bipartisan support for the deal worth more than $2 billion in expected new U.S. farm sales. House Democratic Ag Chair Colin Peterson of Minnesota had this to say.
I think it's a good agreement, and it's something that we need to get done. And right now I'm optimistic about the chances of getting this done. I talked to Chairman Neal on Monday night, and he was pretty confident that we're going to have a vote within the next month or two.
Peterson called for patience as Speaker Pelosi tries to build support among Democratic skeptics. However, Ways and Means ranking Republican Kevin Brady of Texas argued that time has run out.
We can't delay any longer. Every day we delay It hurts our farmers, our workers, our communities, and our economy in a major way. And it helps China every day we delay.
Former USDA chief and now head of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, Tom Vilsack, another Democrat behind the USMCA.
Not just 2.5 million American farmers are dependent on the vote that will take place hopefully sometime this fall on the USMCA, but there are 43 million Americans who work in the food and agriculture industry in this country. That's 28% of America's workforce.
American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval says it's not about the politics, but about Americans.
Look who's sitting around with us today, Democrats and Republicans, talking about not just trade for farmers, but trade for Americans.
Speaker Pelosi said at her weekly press conference, Democrats and the White House are making progress on the USMCA, but the deal must have strong enforcement provisions, which she insists could be done surgically without a wholesale reopening of the deal. Mexico has already ratified the agreement, and Canada is waiting on the United States to do so. In other national ag news, the National FFA Organization announced this week a record-high student membership of 700,170, up from nearly 670,000 in 2018. National FFA Organization CEO Mark Peschel says the membership growth reflects continued enthusiasm for agriculture as well as agricultural education. The top six student membership states are Texas, California, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio, and Missouri. Interest in FFA and agricultural education continues to grow as membership continues to increase. This year, the organization has more than 100,000 Latino members, and 45% of the membership is female. Females also hold more than 50% of the leadership positions. FFA chapters can be found in 24 of the 25 largest U.S. cities. The National FFA Organization provides leadership, personal growth, and career success training through agricultural education to student members who belong to one of more than 8,600 local FFA chapters. The organization is also supported by more than 8 million alumni and supporters. In other national ag news, the Department of Agriculture recently opened enrollment for the Agriculture Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage Safety Net programs, known as ARC and PLC. John Newton, American Farm Bureau Federation chief economist, says the 2018 Farm Bill made important improvements to the program.
Most notable of which is changes in the reference price under PLC and then some yield adjustments on ARC County. So now farmers need to crunch the numbers, and they have an opportunity to visit with their FSA office to sign up for this crop year and next crop year on ARC and PLC on a commodity-by-commodity basis.
Newton says there are differences between the two programs that farmers must consider.
PLC is a price-based safety net that provides support to a farmer whenever the marketing year average price for the commodity falls below the reference price. And ARC County is a revenue-based safety net program. Protection is based on the five-year average of the farmer's county revenue and the marketing year average price. So we look at both prices and revenue under ARC County and prices only under PLC.
Producers have until March of next year to make a decision for the next year crop. Newton says several tools are available to help.
Several universities have USDA-sponsored decision tools, one at the University of Illinois and one developed by Texas A&M. So farmers can use either of those decision tools. We'll also crunch some numbers here at Farm Bureau to help farmers make that ARC and PLC decision.
Again, that was AFBF Chief Economist John Newton. Moving on into other USDA news, last month's highly criticized USDA corn and soybean forecasts may have been vindicated, as those same basic forecasts in Thursday's new estimates are now within the much revised trade expectations. Gary Crawford has more from Washington.
Last month, the Agriculture Department took a lot of heat for its estimates for corn and soybean acreage and production being far higher on corn than the trade range of expectations, lower on soybeans. In Thursday's new estimates,
our numbers didn't change all that much.
But USDA's chief economist, Rob Johansson, told us instead,
the trade range adjusted to you know, what we have been saying. So I guess a lot of people have been out there looking at both corn and soybean acres and yields. And while we're not right smack in the middle of the trade range, on both sets of those numbers were well within the range of trade estimates.
USDA has corn harvested acres same as last month, yields down a bit, total production down 1% from August estimates to 13.8 billion bushels. Soybean acreage no change from last month, production forecast dropping only 1% from August to 3.6 billion bushels. Johansson says both are within the revised market expectations.
So I think hopefully we see a little vindication today out there in the news.
In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now into state and local news, when we look at the Illinois crop production report released yesterday, planted area is estimated at 10.7 million acres, which is down 3% from last year. Harvested area, which is forecasted at 10.45 million acres, is down 4% from 2018. Based on September 1st conditions, the Illinois corn yield is forecast at 180 bushels to the acre, which is down 1 bushel from August and down 30 bushels from last year. Production is forecast at 1.88 billion bushels, which is down 17% from last year's production. Soybeans in the planted area is estimated at 10 million acres, which is down 7% from 2018. Harvested area is forecast at 9.94 million acres, down 8% from last year. Based on September 1st conditions, the Illinois soybean yield is forecasted at 53 bushels to the acre, which is down 12 bushels from last year. Production is forecasted at 527 million bushels, down 25% from 2018. Moving on into other state ag news, Sunday begins the start of the 75th annual Farm Safety Week, which was started by a stroke of a pen from President Franklin Roosevelt in 1944. Farming practices are much different than they were 75 years ago during World War II. So to talk about some ways to keep safe this harvest season is Dave Newcomb of the Illinois Fire Service Institute of the University of Illinois in Champaign, Urbana.
I'm here with Dave Newcomb, and he's a part of the Ag Rescue Program. He's actually the manager of the Ag Rescue Program for the Illinois Fire Service Institute at the U of I. And Dave, we're coming up here on Farm Safety Week, always a time to be cognizant of safety, especially when harvest season is right around the corner.
Yes, this is the time of year that we're starting to get geared up for harvest. Everybody's starting to get anxious, and if somebody in the neighborhood's already running, they're saying, oh my gosh, I got to get started, and it may not be ready. This has been a very challenging growing season from the planting and everything, so the grain and the crop this year is going to be a real challenge to put in the bin if we're going to store it, or even at the elevator can be a challenge. So I do a lot of talking about the first and foremost is I call it situational awareness. When you're in the process of working around this stuff, pay attention to what's going on around you. If you're the person unloading the semis or the trucks and you're running augers and all that, you're always paying attention to where the PTO shaft is and everything working right, and are the guards on properly so that something doesn't happen. If I've got other people around there, am I paying attention to where they're at so that, and they're hopefully watching me so that we have each other covered. So that plays a big role in just paying attention to what's happening.
And along with other programs that the IFSI does, it brings classes to the volunteer fire departments instead of the volunteer firemen going to Champaign to train. It's a big way that a lot of these volunteer fire departments, which majority of Illinois is comprised of volunteer fire departments, get some of that hands-on training that if a tragedy would happen, they've got the knowledge and know what to do.
70% of the firefighters in the state of Illinois and the United States are volunteers. The Institute as a whole last year trained over 60,000 students. The Ag program trained probably in the neighborhood of 1,200 to 1,500. Our training is designed that we go to the fire departments. 80% of our classes are off campus. So we have quite a fleet of trailers, and we call them classroom on wheels. So we bring the tools and the technology and that to the fire department. We have what's called the Cornerstone Program, which is a funding grant that if a small local department, any department really, they can request, there's about 40 or 50 classes available. They can request those classes, and as long as they have 15 students in the class, there is no fee to the department. That's how that works, and it's been very successful over the years. In the ag program, we have two grain bin classes, one at the awareness level, one at the operations level, which is everything outside the bin and everything inside the bin. Two different systems. We do tractor rollovers. We do grain entrapments, anhydrous ammonia emergencies, and this year we're rolling out our new large animal rescue operations class, where people have to, it's dealing with like the roadway accidents, carrying livestock and that.
Let's move into just the different types of all the accidents that could happen. You talked on grain bin safety, tractor rollovers, and with this week being Farm Safety Week, next week actually, just kind of go over what you were talking about when it came to each sector with the safety.
Tractor rollovers and tractors in traffic are the first two incidents that have, they're the leading causes of accidents in the ag world. Tractor rollovers, working on uneven ground, you know, mowing roadsides, doing different things. Sometimes the tractor gets in the wrong position, it'll roll over. If it's got a cab on it, it's in pretty good shape in that the rollover system's in the cab. If it has a what's called a ROP system, rollover protection, it's like a roll bar, and that's to help protect the operator. But the key issue to that is the seat belt is part of the rollover protection. We've had incidents where people didn't have a seat belt on, the tractor rolled over, and the rollover system actually pinned them on the ground. So that's an issue. Then traffic accidents, you know, somebody sees that orange triangle on the back of that combine or whatever, they think that's the sign to pass as fast as you can. At least that's my interpretation. And so left-hand turns are a real key issue because we have to cross lanes of traffic. Somebody's passing you. Visibility is a key issue around that, in that with the size of the machinery today, you can't always see what's going on right behind you or even sometimes beside you. So roadway accidents happen that way. We've also had incidents where someone might have been walking around behind a combine. They were unloading into a truck, and they moved the combine, actually ran over someone in that instance. So those are the top two, and then a distant third is grain bin incidents where people are in the bin, get in trouble. And what the biggest issue there is, we want to break the culture of working alone. We want, if you're going out there to do that, take somebody with you. If you get in trouble, there's somebody there to call 911 to get help on the way. The other key issue to that is if I'm going in the bin, I want to do what's called lockout tagout. I need to shut off anything and everything that can make the grain move, and then I want to secure it so nobody can turn it back on accidentally while I'm in the bin or doing whatever I need to do. And then third, put on a harness and a lifeline and work. There are systems out there that you can put in your bin with pulleys so that if you went in the bin, if something happened, you wouldn't go under the surface of the grain.
All right, Dave, and just wrapping up on this, with Farm Safety Week being next week, any last final thoughts or anything to take home for farmers in mid-Illinois?
Well, I think the key issue here is, we're going to get into a crazy time. Harvest is crazy. We're going to be working long hours. We're going to be challenged by the condition of the grain, but it's important that every few hours, you know, get out of the combine, get out of the tractor, just take a few minutes and take a break. Get something to drink, stop for a meal, anything like that to help keep yourself mentally refreshed so that if you see a problem, you're going to react to it safer and better versus being fatigued.
All right, Dave, thank you so much. That was Dave Newcomb, the Ag Rescue Program Manager of IFSI at the University of Illinois. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
And while on the topic of Farm Safety Week, be listening all next week for PSAs from local FFA chapters and 4-H members to tell you about farm safety when it comes to harvest. Moving on into local news, we have quite a few things going on in the local area this weekend. Starting on Monday, however, there will be a succulent wreath workshop held by the Montgomery County Extension. That will be held at the Montgomery County Extension office in Hillsboro from 5 until 6 on Monday. The cost for the program is $20 and will include all materials to create a succulent wreath to take home. Advanced registration is required by today, and you can go to their website, go.illinois.edu/CJMM, or call the Extension office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Coming up tomorrow, the Staunton FFA alumni will be sponsoring their 13th annual tractor ride. Registration begins tomorrow morning at 7. Coffee, juice, water, and donuts will be available for breakfast. The ride will then leave at 8 tomorrow morning after a quick driver's meeting and opening ceremony. The ride will then make a stop for refreshments along the way to Marine, where the tractors will be put on display and lunch will be purchased. Orders for lunch will be taken at registration tomorrow morning so that it can be ready upon your arrival. Passengers are also told to not ride on any part of the tractor unless in an approved buddy seat. Please do not ride on any of the fender mounts or drawbars. If you have any questions, you can contact Stacy Slifka at 618-781-7435 or chapter reporter Linda Niehaus at 618-402-2710. Coming up on Sunday afternoon, the Montgomery County 4-H will be holding shooting sports along with archery and air rifles. It'll be held again on Sunday afternoon from 1:30 to 3 at the 4-H Park in Butler. And starting next week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, will be the 2019 Purina Checkerboard Days Customer Appreciation Event at Hamel Co-op. With more information on this year's Customer Appreciation Event, I talk with General Manager of the Hamel Co-op, Amy Rozier.
Our checkerboard days, like you said, Purina is celebrating 125-year anniversary, and to be part of that, we are going to celebrate with them. We have some in-store sales those days. We're going to have some discounts on our Laena products. You can buy two bags, get one free. Our Purina mineral tubs are going to have a discount on them. Our Equine Senior and Strategy products are all going to be discounted. Buy so many bags, get one free. And then some in-store products like Leaning Tree gift cards, cookbooks, beekeeping supplies, pet toys, and we have kids' toys and gifts on sale, too. So we're excited about that. We have a few in-store drawings. Our grand prize is a iRobot Roomba, which I think every person could appreciate. They're wonderful things. We're kind of gearing up celebrating Purina's 125th anniversary because next year we actually celebrate our 100-year anniversary here at Hamel Co-op. So we're excited about that as well.
And also you'll have an in-store expert on some of these products that Purina has as well that I see.
Yes, on Friday our Purina rep, David Williams, is going to be in-store here and we're going to set up appointments if anyone wants to have a one-on-one consultation. This is kind of different from whenever we go out and do our on-farm calls. Some people have busy work schedules and they can't make on-farm calls, so we kind of do an in-store day once a year so people that have schedules can arrange something that works for them.
And again, we're talking with Amy Rozier with Hamel Co-op, and this Appreciation Days will be going on September 19th, 20th, and 21st, so we're just about a week away from that.
Yep, you can stop by and see us. There's no purchase necessary to enter our drawings. We're going to have some other stuff like in-store gift cards and some other items that our companies that we work with have donated. So we're going to be drawing for a bunch of different things. We're going to have donuts and kind of ice in the morning and ice cream in the afternoon. So stop by, grab a cool treat or a tasty donut and see what we have to offer.
And again, that was Amy Rozier, General Manager of the Hamel Co-op in Hamel. And if you'd like to attend their Appreciation Days, which will be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, you can visit the Hamel Co-op at the corner of Old Route 66 and State Route 140 in Hamel. And that just about wraps it up for this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Friday morning, September 13th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.